My friend Mary Pettinato is here from, one of my favorite organizations. Tell them what organization that is.
Honor Flight Chicago.
Which you started when?
2008.
All right. So you and I both had dads who served in World War II. And your dad served where?
My father served in the Atlantic, in North Africa, and Italy.
What branch of the service?
Army.
And my father was Army Air Corps before they had an Air Force. Our story is like pretty much every baby boomer kid story. And we've talked about this a million times. But one of the things that always struck me and struck you was the modesty of those that served in that war. They didn't talk about it. And they sure didn't want you doing anything special because everybody stepped up, right?
Absolutely.
So because of that, it just always has rung with me that Honor Flight is so special, but it also creates an extra hurdle for you to get over because you take your Honor Flight Chicago, and there's Honor Flights around the country, but Honor Flight Chicago is the best, and you take these plane loads of previously World War II vets, now Korea and Vietnam starting as well, to Washington to see the memorials that were built for them.
That's right. So per flight, and we fly during the warm months between April and October, per flight we take 100 to 110 World War II and Korean War heroes, and soon Vietnam heroes, to Washington, D.C. for a day of reflection, a day of being recognized and thanked for their service, and a day to really feel appreciated.
Yeah. Right. At a point in their life where they'd much rather have you talk about who they were, not the aches and pains they have now. And it gives them a chance to bond with brothers and sisters who know the walk they walked.
Absolutely. On a recent trip, we had a World War II veteran at the Freedom Wall looking at the 4,000 stars, each star representing 100 men and women whose lives were lost. And he's just solemnly looking at the wall, and next to him is a German soldier.
How about that?
Same age. And he looks and he says, I hope you're not bothered by the fact that I'm here. And he said, we did what we had to do and you did what you had to
do.
God
bless them both.
So many years ago. And they were hugging, and it was this closure that they both got.
And they both needed.
Absolutely.
And those type of miraculous stories happen all the time. Now, Mary Pettinato is moving on from Honor Flight. We'll talk about that in a second. I haven't entirely accepted the fact that she's moving on. But Honor Flight Chicago goes on, and you want it to be bigger and better than ever.
Absolutely. It will be bigger and better.
Who becomes you at the organization?
We've got a couple of people that will be...
To be determined, or you're still...
No,
this? Okay, it's going to be a co-thing.
It'll be... Co-sharing, and very excited. We haven't made the announcement yet.
Okay.
But we have two people that will be... stepping up and making sure that Honor Flight Chicago is bigger and better than ever.
Now, you took this thing and you had no idea what you were taking on. You had no idea how to get an airplane, how to get these folks on, the various medical conditions they might have, and how to deal with all of that. Every flight that goes, are you still a little anxious about it, or do you feel like you figured it out?
You can never figure it out. Every flight is unique. Every veteran is unique. If you read some of the medical needs of our veterans before you travel, you're a lot anxious.
Sure.
And yet every flight...
In World War II, you're talking about 90-plus.
Average age is 93.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big deal. One of the things that always made me tear up a little bit about these guys was when they would come home and arrive back at the airport here, and the band would strike up. You've said this to me first, and then I witnessed it. The years just fall away. Suddenly they're standing up like the upright, at-attention soldiers they were.
They sure do. The years fall away that when the plane lands at the end of a very, very long day. They arrive at the airport at 4 in the morning, and the plane lands at 8 p.m., and the veterans pop up like a jack-in-the-box and want to get off that plane and want to share the amazing day they had. And unbeknownst to them, we have thousands of people at the airport waiting to greet them. And a 35-piece brass band and bagpipers, 25 bagpipers. And it just goes on. And their emotions are just so high at that
point. Well, and one of the coolest things is to see people who have no connection to the organization, who are just getting back from their own flight or whatever, who come over and they're standing around and they're crying, you know, or applauding or whatever the case may be.
We've received many letters with donations where they'll say, I stopped to honor a veteran that looked just like my father, and then 99 more came off that plane. And would you believe I missed my flight?
Well, you know what? For a good reason, right? The cost of this is zero to these veterans. The cost of the organization is considerable, and without the generosity of people through these years for you helping fund this thing, it never would have happened, right?
You're right. The cost continues to go up. We charter the flights now, which allows us to be more punctual on both ends. We have police escorts now in Washington, D.C. Again, it's a one-day trip, and we want it to be the best and not sitting in traffic.
Sure.
So the cost per flight is $125,000 now.
$125,000. Now, all you had to do through all these years was make it rain and find that kind of money to support these flights, because the waiting list for folks to get on is considerable.
Yes, and it's even more so now. We just announced this week that we're flying Vietnam veterans soon. So the waiting list is very, very extensive, and we're hoping to raise enough money for another flight.
And that doesn't mean World War II has ended in regards to flying World War II vets as well, because you obviously still want to hear from them.
Oh, absolutely. So on our last flight, we had over 20 World War II veterans.
That's incredible.
And the ones that signed up did not want to displace another veteran, but they thought it might be time for them to go. I called one veteran and I said, you know, I see you just canceled. You're a World War II hero. Are you afraid to fly?
Mm-hmm.
He said, no, ma'am. No, I'm not afraid to fly. I am a paratrooper in World War II. I am not afraid to fly. I am a little afraid to land. I've never landed in a plane before. I've only taken off.
That's a great line. So the constant hurdle you've had to get over outside of the money is, and this may be a Greatest Generation thing, maybe it's just a service to your country thing, but it's guys who would go, not just don't make a fuss over me. There were a lot of folks who couldn't understand why they were getting this for free, and how could that possibly be? Or there were medical things that they were embarrassed about because they weren't the person they once were, and they thought they were the only ones, and then somebody's going to have to take care of them, and on and on and on. You've heard every excuse,
every
reason.
Excuse.
You have a favorite story of someone that you had to talk into going, and they finally saw the light?
I do. D-Day survivor, not D-Day plus one, D-Day survivor that you interviewed right here 8 years ago. And at the very end, you said what you almost always say. So, Dominic, is there anything else you'd like to share with us that I may not have asked you? And he goes, yeah, yeah. If you can't see, if you can't hear, if you can't walk, go anyway. They'll take care of you, those people at Honor Flight Chicago.
Exactly right. I mean, that just has to do your heart so good.
Oh, it's great.
So these trips last for one day. You turn them around. You bring them back. The end of the day, they go home. They get back to whatever their lives were. How many of these folks do you hear from?
Almost every one of them.
Yeah.
And they handwrite or they type on a manual typewriter a thank you letter. And the handwritten with the Parkinson's, where they start by apologizing for their writing.
Right.
And then beautifully and eloquently write a letter that you could not pen today.
Their own moms and teachers would have been proud of as they were growing up.
Yes.
Yeah. I've told this many times. I wish that my father had been able to experience this, but he passed back in 1990. The great thrill I have, though, is at least helping you be a mouthpiece for this, to talk about others so they can get involved. Do you anticipate the same sort of hurdle for Korean War vets, or as time rolls on, are they a little less, it's not a trustworthy thing, I suppose, but the thing we always heard about, oh, that's how they get you. They tell you it's free, but it's not really free. Are we going to get more cooperation from Korean War vets and therefore more full planes?
So the Korean War, I'm still fascinated by, in the sense that most of the Korean War vets who served in Korea never shared with their family that they served at all.
How about that?
It was called the Forgotten War, and I think these guys truly felt forgotten. One veteran described how he lost everybody he had in Korea. And he came home, and the friends that he had from high school, he said, I'm finally back. I'm back from that war. And they go, oh, that wasn't a war. That was a conflict.
Right.
Again, you know, imagine.
Well, I guess you think about it, tough act to follow, right? We won World War II. We saved the world for democracy and freedom. And now you've got this thing on the other side of the world that maybe we're not ready to go back to. And these men and women had to. They absolutely deserve every bit of respect and access that you provide for World War II vets.
They sure do. And interestingly, they were given the tents, the boots, the uniforms from World War II with holes in them.
Is that right?
And they served in South Korea. Do you remember when the Olympics happened and they had to cancel the skiing because it was too cold? Negative 50 without a wind chill.
Brutally cold.
Brutally cold.
Right. And the average age of those men and women would be what? Mid to late 70? How old?
87
oh,
average
good Lord,
age.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So time's of the essence here as well.
Mm-hmm.
So with all vets that we're talking about, there's an easy way to get started on the process. Just simple application you fill out, right?
That's it.
All right, where do we get that?
HonorFlightChicago.org, O-R-G.
Okay, and just jump on there. It's easy to fill out. Fill it out for your mom. Fill it out for your dad. Fill it out for yourself if you're listening and it applies to you. But don't miss out on this. And again, I want to keep coming back to this. It doesn't cost you a dime. It's generous people who support the organization, corporations as well. They want to honor you by, or the person you love, by having this day. But that also means you do have to raise that money. So what do you want to say to people who want to help but maybe never have taken the time?
If you know anyone or if you are able to financially, it costs us $1,200 per veteran to fly our humble heroes. And if there's any chance that you could help us with $1,200 or a small portion, any amount is helpful to us.
But you could scholarship a soldier, $1,200 per.
You sure could.
Yeah, it's a big deal. It's a very big deal. How often do they fly?
We fly 6 times per year.
That's amazing.
Every 4 weeks.
That's absolutely amazing.
Warm weather.
And who do we thank for getting all of that together other than you? Now that you're leaving the organization to go finally have some time for your own life, who do you want to recognize?
Honor Flight Chicago Board of Directors, really dedicated team. I'm leaving the organization from the 7 days per week, but I'll still be on the board and still working hard to honor
I didn't think you'd give it up completely.
These men and women.
Right, of course. The folks that are coming along for the Vietnam piece of this, these are folks that would average out in their 60s, I guess, now?
Late 60s, early 70s.
Wow. I forgot I'm old as well then, didn't I? So late 60s, early 70s, they're still relatively healthy in most cases. But if they're not, obviously, same applies. You guys have seen everything. You can take care of them. But for those folks who feel like, get to it down the road, you don't want to put this off, do you?
No, and the reason is down the road is when we'll invite you. So if you signed up today, it's based on date of application.
Okay.
And we do have a waiting list already. One of our first applicants was a Vietnam veteran. It actually said activity during World War II, and they wrote something like, I wasn't born yet.
Okay.
So
okay.
That was a little confusing for those of us that were receiving the applications. But if you just apply and then keep us updated if you move, it could be a 2-year wait if you applied today.
Right.
We need to get your application on file,
right,
most importantly.
Right, so we can call you on that day and let you know we're ready to go, and here's when we're ready to go, because it's all matters.
It's all that matters. And what happens is you apply, you get that 3-page application in, and then when we're getting ready to fly you, we send you an additional couple of pages that you fill out, and then we get you on a plane.
What are we've talked about, and I know you know Mary Vandeveld, who does the traffic and other stuff here on the show, or on my regular show, I should say, not the podcast. But Mary Vandeveld had an opportunity to have her dad go. She lost her dad a couple of years ago. Now it's one of the great memories of her life. So talk a little bit about that day and what happens with the vets, no matter how old they are.
No matter how old they are, the veterans arrive at the airport at 4 in the morning. And as one veteran said, I arrived at the airport a sleepy, cranky old Navy veteran. I returned home that night an American hero. So they arrived at the airport at 4 in the morning. We have 150 volunteers waiting for them. We have 40 people standing outside at attention with wheelchairs. We have people helping to change the shirts so that we all have the same shirts on, the veterans. We provide them with their dog tags when they check in and their lapel pin with the Honor Flight Chicago logo. We take a beautiful high-resolution professional photograph of them for the beginning the day. And then we get to the gate where the Sweet Reminder young ladies are singing the tunes of the 40s and 50s,
sure,
and soon to be 60s,
right?
Which will be interesting to go from how much is that doggy in the
Jimi
window
Hendrix.
To Jimi Hendrix.
Right,
exactly.
Right, right.
I'm not sure how that'll work out,
we'll
but it'll be a lot of fun.
Right, right.
Then we get on the plane, and as you know, most of the pilots are retired military.
Yep.
So the pilots can't wait. They actually vie for the opportunity to fly
cool.
our trips. And the pilots are standing there saluting and thanking every veteran. When the plane lands in Washington, D.C., we have a water cannon salute.
Is that right? I didn't know about this.
Oh, it's the highest honor you can bestow
How
on a
cool
retiring pilot or plane. Captain Sullenberger had a water cannon salute.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, the veterans just look out the window and just tears streaming down their face. Now we're in Washington, D.C. We get off the plane. There's a 40-piece brass band playing, welcoming them, and we have hundreds of volunteers who literally take off work and greet us at the airport and then go back to work.
Just so they can be there.
Just so they can be there. Just so they can shake hands and say thank you for your service. Thank you for your sacrifice.
Now, how do you get from the airport to the memorial?
We get on 5 motor coaches
and
go to the memorial. Memorials. And this, what's great is having the police escort. So imagine, normally a police escort is, you know, for one car, one limo or something, but 5 big motor coaches whipping in and out of the city, and everyone has to pull off onto the side of the road when we're there.
Pretty cool.
It's very nice.
Yeah, very nice. And when you go to the memorials, these are outdoor. So
outdoors.
I'm sure you've had a few flights where weather's been an issue. What do you do in that case?
If it's truly an issue, we've gone to the museum once, which was great fun.
It is great.
But interestingly, almost every flight we've had at times prediction of terrible weather. And one flight, this veteran, his wife died on Saturday this year before the trip that Wednesday. So 4 days later, he was supposed to fly. And the last words out of her mouth were, "You will be on that trip." So the plane lands, it's raining, it's turbulence all the way in. The plane taxis up to the jet bridge, and the sky now is beautiful sunshine, and a rainbow comes out.
Yeah, I wonder who
and
that was
for. And the veteran just looks up and says, "Thank you, Ollie."
How about that? Oh, you got me too. Listen, and you know I'm kind of a soft touch to begin with, but come on.
Oh,
I don't know how
amazing.
You're not a basket case with every one of these flights with what you see and the stories you know.
Great stories.
So how long are they actually at the memorial?
So we go to the World War II Memorial. The memorial at the World War II is very expansive.
Yeah, it is.
So we take our group photo there.
Good.
Then we go to the Lincoln, Korean, and Vietnam Memorial. And that's where we have the Marine Corps Silent Drill Platoon performing. So you're facing the Washington Monument. Your back is toward the Lincoln Memorial. You're surrounded. On one side is the Korean Memorial. The other side is the Vietnam Memorial. It is a gorgeous venue. And you've got 60 guys with the rifles throwing the...
Sure.
It's beautiful.
You realize you're choreographing a Broadway play every time you do one of these? It's amazing.
It's great fun.
And I know you've added things through the years, things that you'd like to have done. Do you feel like you really have it down now?
After each flight, we have a 5-hour brain...
Kind of a breakdown?
Yeah, breakdown of everything that worked, what didn't work, how we could improve on it, right down to how long it takes in the bathroom, and if there's a way we could, you know, get those that are the most needy, that need to have help
sure.
in the bathroom, you know, off the plane first, and just how can we do this to make it even smoother and nicer for the veterans.
Yeah, speaking of breakdowns and volunteers and things of that matter, how do people volunteer?
Because
you never have enough, I assume.
We have about 1,500.
Oh, there's a list now. Okay.
We have a large number of volunteers.
But join the list.
But many people want to volunteer to fly with our veterans. We don't offer that. We don't have volunteers that fly with our veterans. We have donors that fly. But as a rule, we have... some veterans have family from Chicago, but most of them fly with us. And then in Washington, D.C., we have active duty military that join us. So
it's a
one-to-one all day.
Yeah, and I would also say if you want to be with your mom or your dad, jump on a commercial flight and go to D.C., right? Couldn't they meet you or something, or doesn't it work that way?
We could work something out, but sometimes they jump on a commercial flight and it's more disruptive. The flight's delayed, they're not there, now the father's
upset. You can't
wait. And, you know, so we don't...
You're on a schedule.
We don't recommend that.
Okay, and obviously at $1,200 a seat, you know, this is no swipe to the families. You'd love to have them be able to go, you just can't pull it off.
That's right.
And you want as many vets on the plane as possible.
And interestingly, we had one recently, the veteran, all the way to D.C., told me how disappointed, I'm disappointed in you people. You people really should have chosen my daughter as a guardian. My daughter's a good girl, a real good girl. And I said, but sir, your daughter is in a scooter. She couldn't push your wheelchair. She would have figured out how to push the wheelchair. The plane lands, and a 6-foot blonde, blue-eyed Swedish model greets him in short shorts and says, "I will be your guardian for the day, sir."
Suddenly he perked up.
Literally, the veterans start laughing, and he turns to me and says, "Forget everything I said about my daughter."
That's too funny. Well, I don't know if you remember this story, because it was one of the flights back, because I've been on the return side of this a few times. And I was talking to a group of World War II vets, and as you say, they were all 90 plus, and none of them could hear. And, you know, just making small talk. Huh? Huh? And I finally said to the five of them, after I'd determined that they had all been stationed in Italy at various times, I said, "You guys, come on. I don't care how long you've been married. You got to have some stories from those days. I'm not saying you cheated on your wives. I'm not saying you cheated on your girlfriends. But I bet you got a lot of attention." Suddenly, they all heard. They heard every word I said, and everybody wanted to tell a story. So the rascals in these guys come out, don't they?
Oh, big time.
Yeah, it makes part of the fun.
They're young whippersnappers all of a sudden, right?
Right, without a doubt. All right, so you're leaving the organization after these many years, at least part-time leaving the organization, to have some time to yourself. And I couldn't agree with you more that, as much as I'm sad to hear that you won't be doing this 24 hours a day, I'm thrilled for you personally that you're able to do this. But you will be on the board, because people that know Mary Pettinato and Honor Flight Chicago, they're going to want to know that you're still involved.
I'm very much involved.
All right. And you're helping select who the folks are going to do the work that you've been doing.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Very much.
For people that have heard us yakking about this year after year after year, and they've put it off, but they still want to have an opportunity, it's never too late to get that application in.
And they need to get it in. They
immediately.
Just, you know, what happens... Every time you're kind enough to put us on radio, by the way, we find more veterans,
good,
more volunteers, and more donors. So
good.
So thank you to WGN and all it's done for us. But regularly we'll get many calls right after it airs, and we'll mail the app, and then I'll trace it and follow it, and we don't get it back. So get the app, fill it out as best you can, and you don't need to labor over every single drug that you're taking, vitamin C and vitamin
right,
E and
right.
those. Just fill it out, get it into us, and then when we're ready to fly you, we'll send you another form, which you should labor over a little more and make sure
right.
it's detailed.
And you'll help fill in the blanks if there's questions you need answers to.
That's right.
The folks that get on these flights, as we've said from the beginning, and you hear whenever we talk about this, I love the surprise. I love the surprise from the skepticism from the moment they agree and they finally get onto the plane to the thrill and the joy afterwards. And I'm going to ask you to tell me a couple stories, a couple of your favorite stories. I know it's like asking you who are your favorite children, but a couple of stories from these folks. And one of my favorites is Irv. I think it's Irv, right? Yeah. He's been on a couple of times, who could still fit into his uniform.
Yes, he can still fit into his uniform.
Tell me what you know about Irv.
Irv Abramson, just a true gentleman, 92 years old now. And he served in the Ardennes Forest. And he was talking about the Battle of the Bulge. And he and two buddies were told to dig a foxhole. And he said, "We dug and we dug and we dug. We dug for hours. And we only got about 18 inches. And he said, we were just burrowed in this hole. And he said, initially it was awkward. We were, belly to back. And we just snuggled just as tight as we could
because
sure. it was freezing cold. And he said, and the bombing began. And the artillery began. And it was loud, it was painful, and we just held each other. And he said, and then I came to. I have no idea how long it was. But they 2.5 days later, they told me I had punctured my lung, I had broken, the shrapnel had hit my leg in many different places, and I came into and out of consciousness. But when I came back into consciousness, I said, how are my buddies? I was in the middle. They both took the hit for me. Both of them died.
Oh, unbelievable. And there's literally thousands and thousands of those stories over and over again.
And each story is fascinating. We had another one, a veteran under activity during World War II. He wrote, I was just a medic. Well, this just a medic got up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom. And he's talking to the sentry, the guard, and he says, what's going on? He goes, a real slow night here, real slow. Nothing's going on. And he looks up, and there's a water tower. And he says, what's going on in the water tower? And two Germans were crawling up the water tower with poison in their backpack to poison the entire water supply for the troops. And thanks to this guy having to go to the bathroom, the entire troop was safe. Yeah.
How about that?
Amazing.
Just miraculous stories. And the type of thing that you would think they'd come home, they'd get a reality show, and they'd start talking about it immediately. But that's not who they are.
Not at all. Not at all. And even when you try to recognize them, it's not about me. It's about the guys we left behind.
Sure.
The guys that paid the ultimate sacrifice.
You know, we talk about how grateful a lot of these guys are. Have you had guys that, and women as well, obviously, that have gone on these flights that have wanted to volunteer and help others?
Yes, regularly.
Yeah? And are you able to use them?
I'm able to use them, but not in the way that they think. They think they'll get on another flight and push a wheelchair, but we don't want our veterans pushing wheelchairs. We want our veterans to be honored. So I have a list of about 15 to 20 veterans that I call for help. If a veteran's on the fence, he doesn't know if he wants to go or not. Or I'm currently looking for a veteran who's a union guy because I've got a big union meeting.
So they're the closers.
They're the closers. They get up. Absolutely, they're the closers. They get up and teary-eyed say it was the greatest day of my life. Next to marrying my wife of 70 years.
Tremendous. Now, listen, I know you're going to miss it, but you deserve some time off, so I don't want you to worry about it being taken care of. You come back to those board meetings, and you look over this organization. And your dad passed when?
4 years ago.
Yeah. Well, you know he's overlooking this, too.
Oh, very much. I have one quick story.
Well, of course.
We had a veteran who was in a wheelchair, and he was in a wheelchair permanently all day. We lifted him up onto the toilet. He stayed in the wheelchair went onto the bus, and we locked the wheelchair down. And at the very end of the day, this veteran turned to me and he said, I'm walking off this darn plane. So we've got Lazarus walking off the plane, and he's going by the Navy sailors from Naval Station Great Lakes. They come out 200, 250 at a time.
Wow.
Standing at attention, saluting. And so now I've got a Navy sailor kind of holding the back of his belt there just to make sure he's steady. And they're walking along, and who do we see next but the Vietnam veterans, many of whom are Vietnam veterans, the motorcycle guys with the black leather jackets and the bandanas and notes about Jane Fonda. And
right.
And one fellow motorcyclist leans over and he says, Bob, how was your day? And Bob says, well, I've never been to heaven, but I'm guessing today was mighty close.
Good.
So in closing, I would say that Honor Flight Chicago is truly the greatest opportunity you could ever have for a veteran, for a volunteer, for a donor. It's heaven on earth.
It's tremendous. God bless you and the work all of your folks do every day. Enjoy some time. And when you come back for board meetings and various things, we'll talk again.
Thank you, Steve.
You know, I'm always here for you. So you tell those two that you pick to make sure they nag me, because we'll put you guys on anytime.
Thank you so much.
HonorFlightChicago.org?
HonorFlightChicago.org or call 773-227-8387.
The great walk amongst us, and one of those is Mary Pettinato. Thank you very much for being on the Steve Cochran Podcast.
Thank you.